This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the north of London. Jamie here with your latest instalment of the 1912 Exiles podcast. And I've been given an early Christmas present of a surprise London away. Now, I know we all would have preferred not to have conceded an 89th minute equaliser, making our progress in the cup a little bit trickier, but it's given me the opportunity to trudge out on a Tuesday night. I'm not trudging to Barnet. No, ever since leaving Underhill in 2013, the club have played their home games just outside Cannons Park Tube Station, which is a 6 mile drive, and get this, non-London dwellers, an hour's journey on public transport away from their old home. It's somehow taken me an hour and 20 to get here from my home, which is weirdly also in North London. Now, a little potted history about the Hive. It was originally being built for a non-league side, Wealdstone. But private investors went bust, Harrow Council sold it to Barnet, the club were developing it as a training base for Barnet, which had the intention of a ground for the Stones to also play there. I asked a Wealdstone supporting friend of mine about the history, and he replied with a tale of his side's win there. At half-time, Brian Adams came over the PA, summer of 69, I think. Adams famously bought a pub next to his Chelsea flat because he deemed its patrons too loud. What's this, a man miles from his original home stealing an important venue from the locals? Safe to say there's still some beef between the sides. On to us. After these superb wins against Stockport and Morecambe, we were hanging on a bit against Barnet at the end. And at Tranmere, they were definitely the better side overall on Saturday. A massive set of fourth division fixtures coming up, but home to Grimsby, away at Hollywood Pals in the north, before home games over Christmas against Forest Green and Crewe, before travelling to Sutton on New Year's Day. So that's three of the bottom six, two of the top five, and we're somehow only 6 points off the playoffs. I don't know how that's happened. But it's just so tight, so it's just a case of picking up whatever points you can, going on a little run, getting some momentum, and we're touching the top half of the weekend, and we managed to name an entire subs bench for the senior players, so things are kind of looking up. Just going to get into the ground and see what's what. Incidentally, I travelled down to London way back in March 2012 for a job interview before I moved here. We just played against Wealdstone in the FA Trophy semi-final at Spitty Park. In the away end that day, and the person conducting the interview a couple of days later was my Wealdstone supporting friend. I don't know if that had an impact on me getting the job or not, but Martin, if you're listening, drop us a line, 1912 Exiles, all on the socials. On to the game. Barnet, they're on an odd run of form. A draw against us. Convincingly winning the FA Trophy, they look good. But they, those games, they followed four league defeats on the bounce, leaving them third and a bit off the pace of the league leaders, Chesterfield. But they look good at the parade. I'm sensing a close game this evening. Speaking of the game, yeah, the lineups. So Evans, I think he's failed a late fitness test, which is a shame. But, you know, we've gone with Townsend and goal. We've got Payne, Delaney, Clark, McLaughlin, Baker, Bennett's back in the starting lineup. Bryn Morris, Wildig, Seb and Omar. Evans is on the bench. Yes, we've got a decent side there. Charlesley's on the bench, Woods on the bench, Bondswell as well, Waite, Kiban as well. So yeah, we've got a bit of depth there. Close to kickoff now. With me tonight, I brought Charlie, who's an occasional contributor to the pods. I've dragged him to Salford, I've dragged him to Sutton. He was at MK Dons last month. But in all fairness, he did drag me up to Middlesbrough to watch Southampton lose a game there. So I think we're fairly even. Charlie, your most recent Newport game was the MK Dons match, the 0-0 back in November. What did you think of the performance?
It was okay. It was a fairly equal game between Newport and MK Dons. So I think the 0-0 was fair. Not the best game of football I've seen, but probably better than a Middlesbrough game against Saints.
Yeah, that was dreadful. Thanks for that, by the way. What are you feeling tonight? What do you think of the ground, first of all? The walk up to the ground, the bar, the facilities?
It's brilliant, actually. It's quite a nice little ground, all very new. Enjoying the bar. I'm enjoying Barnet, but not Barnet so far.
That's what we're calling it, Barnet, but not Barnet, because, as I mentioned before, it's nowhere near Barnet. And finally, we've got Lewis Payne on loan from Southampton, your team. I know you caught a glimpse of him in that first game, that MK Dons game, sorry. It's always nice to get a youngster getting some game experience. He's had a lot of experience because we've had a bit of an injury crisis. Maybe he'll break his way into the Saints' first team in the future. But you're looking all right now, aren't you? You're looking good in the Championship.
We're doing okay, and I think actually that Middlesbrough game was our last loss, so we're 12 unbeaten.
No way.
So we don't really need anyone else in our squad currently, but if he can get some games at Newport, then when we're back in the Premier League, we'll bring him back.
I would love to be 12 unbeaten. That would be a glorious thing. Right, we're a few minutes still until kickoff here, we'll be back with you in the ground. 5 minutes gone. 1-0 up. Beautiful team goal. I don't know how to describe this. Beautiful overlap. McLaughlin coming forward. I think it was Aaron Wilde with the goal. Honestly, watch this again. This is beautiful play. Slid in, lovely. Cross ball. Lovely finish. Side foot. 1-0. I tell a lie, it was Lewis Payne with the finish, not Wildig. Well, we 12, 13 minutes gone, we're 2-0 up. This is very unusual. Not that I'm complaining. Another ball played beautifully in. I'll let the Newport away fans finish that. Omar Bogle with the finish. Another ball, lovely slid in. As soon as we get the ball, we made one or two passes together and we were quite incisive. Ball was played into Bennett in the middle of the park and he managed to slide out wide, came across back to Bogle and slots it at home, 2-0. Free kick about 25 yards out, maybe a little bit more. Beautifully taken by Morris and decent save, tipped over the bar as a corner. Three-nil. I have no idea who got that goal. Nick Townsend made a decent save. There's a ball in from the Barnett forward. Townsend made a good save against their striker. He kicks it out of his hands. Long down. I thought it was I thought that was a wasted chance there. One bounce. I think somebody nods it over their keeper. And it's 3-0. And just like that, yeah, Barna go goal back, corner flicked on, and then again flicked past Townsend, 3-1. Half time then, 3-1, and we're just watching the replays in the bar behind the away end, and I bumped into Ollie. Ollie, how you doing?
I'm not too bad. I'd be a lot better if the referee could spot the handball and a stamp on McLaughlin, but I think that's part and parcel of the game at this level.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I missed the stamp. I think I was just looking slightly away at the time, but I've heard several people say, yeah, deliberate stamp, VAR would have given that a red. We don't have VAR at this level, but whatever. But also, the Barnett goal. We're watching replays, and he kind of does nod it in. I say nod it in, uses his fist.
Yeah, when you look at it in slow motion, and especially there is one frame that's going around on Twitter where you can clearly see he's tapped it in with his hand. I mean, part of me wants to see fair play to him for having that sort of intuition to punch it in Diego Maradona style, but when it's a goal against you, I don't think you can be too happy with it.
Aside from those decisions going against us, I mean, dream first half, really, wasn't it?
We played really well, especially the counter-attacking football. I think what Coughlin has sort of specialised this team to do is to play well when we're not seeing a lot of the ball, sort of wait for the right moment, bring in a few of their players into our half, and then when we got the right set-up to pounce, and it's worked on countless occasions, pretty much all the goals come from counter-attacks, and we could have had a few more from them, so it's definitely the way to go.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think like it's very unlike us, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very unlike us to get the ball, and three incisive passes later we're through on goal and we play a lovely ball across and get the finish. So yeah, the first two goals are beautiful, the third comical.
Definitely comical.
Yeah. All right, well, we're gonna head back out to the second half, but yeah, it's looking good so far. Oh, what are we? 63, 64 gone. Barnet have had a lot of ball in this second half. They've had a few half chances, but so have we. That was a beautiful ball through to Seb down the left hand side. Crossed it in and yeah, didn't quite get hold of the strike at the end, but still 3-1. Barnet found some voice finally. But yeah, we're just down for an injury here. Can't quite see who it is. Still 3-1, 64, 65 gone. And just like that, it's game over. 4-1, 75, 76 gone. County clear it, play the lines, and somehow play through to Seb, who takes it superbly. Takes it through, threw on goal, slotted it past the keeper. 4-1, game over. Third round. First sub of the night on 78 minutes. Well, dig off. It's the Mountain Goat, Harry Charles Lee, coming on. We're seeing this out now. Benno on the turn. Lovely flick and turn. Chips it into Seb. First time shot. It's straight into the keeper, but this is beautiful stuff now. What an evening. 4-1. Well, we're 5 minutes from time and we're comfortably 4-1 up. Should probably do floodlight watch. Standard. I mean, big bulbs, that's what I have to say. Not all of them working, but enough working to cover the ground. Yeah, Ian, good floodlights, I have to say. The other end of the pitch, there's no stand at the other end. There is a series of five-a-side pitches I can see through the rain and the mist and the floodlights sort of glimmering over the pitch, but there's no stand at the other end. The other thing I say about this ground, we're right next to where the Jubilee Line underground trains go. Now, for you non-London dwellers, most of the London Underground is not actually underground, so there's just like a train line behind like the main stand. Have you ever seen on Twitter that stand? I'm going to say Switzerland, might be Slovakia or somewhere like that. There's like a train line that runs along the touchline of one of the grounds. It's like steam train engine. It's phenomenal. That's what I feel like every time I see a Jubilee Line train go past. I mean, it's a highlight, at least, at the Hive. Just on the 90th minute, Omar's off and Jan Kibban's on. That's full time. 4-1. Decent win the replay, comfortable in the end. Through to the third round against Eastleigh in January. I thought Seb played really well. The whole side played really well. Seb up top. Bogle worked hard. Ben Morris worked really hard. Fullbacks as well. Lewis Payne, McCoughlin. Yeah, good, solid performance. Decent goals. And hey, we're through. And there we have it. 4-1 victors in the end. Through to the third round of the FA Cup. Home to Eastleigh in the next round. Yeah, so make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts for future episodes, including a magical Christmas special coming your way. I'll be down at Rodney Parade for the Boxing Day game. My, and indeed our first one at home for 5 years, would you believe it? Last one was also against Forest Green, where we got thumped 4-1, hoping for a better result this time around. As ever, you can reach us on your Twitters, your X's, your LinkedIns. It's at 1912XLs. We love your feedback, comments, and just generally hearing from you all. And with that, stay safe, look after yourselves, but above all, keep it county.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.